with Psalm 46 and verse 10. Psalm 46 and verse 10. The Bible says, and I can quote it to you, but we'll go ahead and read it. Psalm 46, 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And it requires us to be still. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, and I'm not being critical, I just happened to notice it. It was just odd. But when I was getting ready to go drive a school bus, it was still dark 30 in the morning. The time hadn't changed yet. And it wasn't even 7 o'clock. And there was one morning I got up even earlier, and I think it was before 6, so it was real early. But I looked across, and I could see our neighbor's television screen was on, and there was colors flashing in the window. And I'm not being judgmental or anything. I'm just saying that it's awfully early in the morning for the TV to be on. And some people have it on all the time. And some people, that's the first thing they turn on, and they just got to have something on. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Same thing with our car radios. And it's easy to just get used to the buzz and the noise, but sometimes we forget that be still and know that I am God is important. I was listening to someone talk about how that in order for them to be able to have their quiet time, I think they said they got to get up, I think it was 5 in the morning. I think that's what they said. I don't remember. In order to get some alone time. And the person that said it was Tracy Williams. So you understand that she's got to get up early, and one of her kids said, yeah, we got to just not go anywhere. And maybe it was Dave or somebody said, we don't even go to the restroom because we want to bother her. Maybe that's where she's at, in the bathroom. I don't know. But anyhow, quiet time. And, you know, you have to make time for quiet time, don't you? And be still and know that I am God is a time for us to get alone with God and talk to the Lord each day. Get away, take time off, shut off the phone, shut off things, Bible reading, meditation. I don't know if he's done it yet. I don't know if he will, but Caleb said that he was going to get off Facebook. Maybe he's just not going to check his Facebook. I don't know, but maybe he's going to cancel it altogether. I don't know, but he said he was going to do that. And I said, that'd be fine with us if that's what you want to do. And I'm sure this is part of the reason. In fact, that was part of the reason that he gave. But you know, the Bible says that we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. And part of that is our quiet time alone with God and getting away from God so that we can talk to God and confess our sin. The Bible tells us to confess our sin in 1 John 1:9. This is one of those passages that Orion, Harmony, and Jada and Charity are supposed to be memorizing, and these two guys over here for our quiz. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we have to talk about our sins to God, and all of us have some kind of a sin. We're not all necessarily in the same sin, but we all got sin. You know, gossip is a sin. And sometimes I don't think about gossip, but I forget that maybe others need to hear that gossip is a sin. Gossip is a sin. And it's easy to get into a gossipy mood and a gossipy attitude. Slander, temper, losing our temper, anger, envy, pride. Pride's a big sin. Pride's a cause behind a lot of sins. That's why we gossip, I'm sure. Habits that are bad. Of course, pornography and lusts. But then there's polite sins. Sins where we just omit things. We just don't do certain things. No one could ever point at our finger at us and say we sinned in action, but it was the inaction that was the sin, the lack of witnessing, doing something we should have done that God would have us to do, bitterness that people might not be able to detect that one right away. But there's a lot of sins that go unnoticed by human eye, but they need to be confessed because God saw it and knows about it. And so we're reading that verse the other night, or maybe it was the other day in my Sunday school class, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, Psalm 139. David, of course, was talking about the enemies, but then he said, but search me, O God, examine my own heart. So getting alone with God is number one, and we need to take time to get alone with God and read the Word of God. I don't recommend that you start out reading in Zechariah or Ezekiel or something like that, but that you start out reading something that will be easier for you to understand and apply it. And then as you go through, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, I'm reading through the Bible in a year, I'm in Job, and parts of Job get kind of long, but I understand the story of Job, and I can see where it's headed, and I pay attention. There's some nuggets in those chapters. And you read the Word of God, and you look for those nuggets, and you dig for those things, and you let God speak to your heart, and you stop and rewind and say, what was that about? And right now I'm thinking about how the criticism that Job is getting, and maybe some of the self-defense that Job is giving. And of course, in a few days, and I think it's tomorrow or the next day, God's going to start talking. And yet, everything in the Word of God's got something for us. And we read through it, whether you read through the whole thing in a year, but you read through it on a daily basis. You get alone with God, you confess your sin to the Lord, and you let God work in your heart and see Him answer prayer. And so you meditate on it, you saturate on it. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's another reason why we need to turn the TV off. There's so much ungodly and silliness on television, it's just ridiculous. Blessed is the man that walketh not. By the way, I'll just stop and say this for a minute. I didn't know that Fox News turned into CNN. I didn't know that till last night. I didn't know that. Anyway, we'll keep going. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's where we need to meditate. We need to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Imagine all these people, someone's going to lose pretty soon. Someone's going to lose, and all these people have spent all this time meditating on their party and on their issues and on their election. You know what? If you meditate on the Word of God day and night, you won't lose. Did you know that Jesus is still king? He's still conqueror, and he's still on the throne, and he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we'll still be serving him when all this is done. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so the meditation, the saturation, communicating with him and his word and his spirit. So that's the prayer. When we're communicating, we read about it, then we talk about it, we think about it later in the day, and we are reminded of what we've heard preached and taught at church, what we've read in our Bibles on our own, and we meditate on it, we think about it. If you have ability to listen to good music, and not everything out there is good, but good Christian music, and listen, Patch the Pirate is not bad to listen to, even if you're 50 or 60 years old. It's not. Obedience is still, did you know 50 and 60 year olds still have to practice obedience? Obedience is still the very best way to show that you believe. And I mean, my quiet time alone is for 60 and 70 year olds. It's not just for six-year-olds. It's for all of us to be still and to be right with the Lord and to listen to the Word of God and the good music and the good preaching. And unfortunately, the average Christian radio doesn't have that. But the good stuff, you can get podcasts nowadays, and you get recordings. You can get sermons online. You can get all kinds of stuff. But meditating, saturating, communicating with Him, His Word, and His Holy Spirit, listening to the Word of God, and praying, talking to the Lord, but then reading your Bible, letting Him talk to you. And then the last thing I want to focus on tonight, and that's the main thing, and that is prayer with something that we don't like to do, and that is prayer with fasting. What is fasting? Well, we have something called breakfast. In the morning, we eat our breakfast. And breakfast is when you break the fast. And so fasting is when you don't eat. Or when you abstain from food or pleasure things, things that are pleasure things, and you do it all for the purpose of time with God. Someone was asking me about this a week or two ago, and I think there's plenty of places in the Bible we can read, and we'll look at some of those, and then we'll settle on one chapter for the rest of our evening. But I think it's important that we do fast and pray. I don't think we should fast and pray just because of the current situation in our country, although it certainly is a great idea to fast and pray. We shouldn't fast and pray because the president, the current president of the United States, might lose the election. We should fast and pray just realizing how messed up our country is. I mean, the election's this close? Really? Our country's shot, man. Our country is shot. It's sad that Joker and Bozo might be president and Mrs. President. It's just nuts. It's crazy. That should rattle all of our cage. Now, it doesn't ruin my life, even if Joker and Bozo do become president, because God's still on the throne and my job's still the same. But fasting and praying. Now, there's a guy named Daniel that was conquered. His nation was conquered. He was taken to Babylon. And he got in trouble for praying, thrown in the lion's den. Of course, it worked out fine. But there was a time, I think it's chapter 10, where Daniel was praying for 3 weeks, fasting and praying. And the Bible says there was a spiritual war going on in heaven. And for 3 weeks, Daniel's fasting and prayer. But fasting and praying, I do believe that it's more than just going without food. I think that it can be more than that. It can be just to give up things and to say no to things and to conquer your flesh and to crucify your flesh, to humble yourself, crucify your flesh so that you can meditate on God. And that's the purpose of it. So let's look at some things that the Bible says about it. You know, when they had a holiday or a holy day and Day of Atonement, they would fast. They would not do normal things. It was a Sabbath day, which would be an automatic holy day. And those holy days were a time where they would abstain from things. In America, most holidays are just fun days. That's not the original intent. The Thanksgiving holiday was a time of giving thanks. I think they spent like 6 hours in a church service for the first Thanksgiving day. And they just had a time of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, and that's not what we're doing today. And just about every one of our holidays has turned into just fun day, fun day, fun day, and that's our problem. And so now, of course, we're voting for the leaders or the representatives that are going to give us the most fun, as we're seeing happening today. But getting back to the point here, when we pray, our fasting is not so other people will see it. Let's look at some Bible verses. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. We'll go up to another chapter in a minute, but chapter 6, first of all, Matthew 6, verse 1 and 2. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue, in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It talks about praying in secret in verse 6, in your closet, and letting God reward you openly what was prayed and done in secret. And we should fast in secret and not for open attention. Chapter 23, Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Therefore, I am not going to tell you when I'm fasting, because I don't want to ruin what I'm trying to do. Matthew 23 and verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments. Verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. And verse number 25. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. And so God sees the heart, and this idea of outward show and trying to fast to please someone or to prove something is not the point. But we should fast for a different reason, and we should even fast in a different way than we might think. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. You know, there's some real mockery in the Bible concerning fasting, and there's mockery in everything about religion today. In a lot of religion, there's mockery and hypocrisy. Back in 1 Kings chapter 21, Jezebel declared a fast so they could execute Naboth, right? So there's definitely not all fasts in the Bible are right. And Jesus is just rebuking these Pharisees and these people here and telling them, you don't fast for show. You don't fast so that other people can see in what you're doing. If you give up something, you don't need to tell everybody you gave it up. And you don't. That's not your point. That's not the reason for doing it. In Isaiah 58, here's what God says here concerning fasting. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors, God says. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day of for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Their fasting was for the wrong reason. They were exercising self-discipline and they weren't eating. But they're still doing the same. They're still in verse number 3. You fast and you still find pleasure and exact all your labors. I'll tell you before, when I fasted, I realized that, okay, I'm saying no to my stomach, but what about the rest of my flesh? My flesh, you believe it or not, my flesh is more than just my stomach. Pleasure, daily routine, unbroken heart, what good was it? That idea of exacting all your labors is to charge interest and to go on your daily business. Imagine giving up your income or your time and really, really fasting. What if you fasted your income? What if you fasted your work time? What if we fasted those things that really hurt? I mean, that's the whole idea of fasting, is it hurts. It's a crucifixion of self. And this is what God says in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To help loosen the bands of wickedness. You know, people are in bondage to wickedness. How are you helping to get those things loosened? To undo the heavy burdens that people have. I'm burdened for people who have heavy burdens, and I need to be more burdened for people who have heavy burdens. And you know how I really know if I really am serious about it? If I'm willing to pay or do something about it. To undo some heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees years later, but this is the same issue. God says, I look down and I see you starving yourself for a few hours, but I see you still having oppressed that you won't let them go free. I see you still exacting all your labors and making sure you get your interest. I still see you doing these things. And it says, and to break every yoke. To forgive debts, maybe. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Isn't that the kind of fast I would like, he says in verse 7? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, to help the poor, and to see a need that we could meet. What if we spent for someone else instead of on ourselves? That'd kind of be the same thing as what if we didn't eat and went without eating so that someone else, what if we took what we were going to eat and gave it to someone else who could use it and need it? What if we just said no to ourselves and crucified our flesh and really allowed ourselves to be humbled and our flesh to be crucified? So there's about six different points here in verse 6 and 7. To loose bands of wickedness, undo, lift heavy burdens, free oppressed, break the yoke, deal bread to the hungry, and help the poor in any other way. And then notice in verse 8, there's another list. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Then all of a sudden this darkness and fog that you're in will be clear. And thine health shall spring forth speedily. You'll enjoy better health. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. His glory, his power, his presence, just following you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Get your prayers answered. It says here in verse 9, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. The idea here is to stop pointing the finger at others and taking the yoke that we put on others and speaking vanity and vain words. Verse 10, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. God will give light. Verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. Guide us continually. Allow our life to be guided by his Holy Spirit. One of the things that I plan to do next week, and it's just a plan. It doesn't need to alarm you in any way, but I do want to visit with some college students and ask them about, you know, their future and whether or not they would consider being in South Dakota. And it's just, I guess you could call it an interview. But ultimately, to pray about God's will, to be guided by him. Our older two, I mentioned this last week, I think it was, our older two have had boyfriends, girlfriends, and past tense. Hannah has another boyfriend, present tense. But you know what we want? We want them to be guided continually. We want them to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Not guided by feelings and flesh, but guided by his constant guidance. And that the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. I need God's guidance every day. And there's times where we should pray and we should fast and pray when we know we need his guidance and we're not sure what's next. I don't know what Mrs. Williams prays for, but I'm sure she's praying for her children, some of it. I know Miss Wilma does. That God would guide continually. Guide continually in our decisions that we make about everything and about church, what we do, and to have a clear head so that our darkness is clear light. So that the night becomes light and that we can see clearly and nothing's foggy and goofy, but it's clear. And it says, and satisfy thy soul in drought and make thy bones fat. You know what we really need more than anything? We do not need a certain person to win the election. We need our souls to be satisfied. And nobody that you can elect will satisfy your soul. Nobody. But everybody's looking for that. Everybody's looking for soul satisfaction. That's what everybody wants. Did you know you don't even have to have a free country to have soul satisfaction? You don't? I mean, there's a lot of people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Their lives were not under freedom of religion. And they still were satisfied. And it'll satisfy the, and it says satisfy thy soul. You know what a drought is, right? When it's not satisfying. But it's still, somehow it's satisfying. there's a drought. I mean, it's not good. It's bad. When there's a drought, the economy's bad. And make fat thy bones. It says you'll be like a well-watered garden. In fact, you might be so well-watered, people are wondering, where are you getting your water from? Everybody else is not getting that kind of, how are you getting that green grass? Be like a well-watered garden. Remember it says in Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree planted. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. People will notice that you're starting to get it figured out. Not you, but God is through you. You're getting it figured out because you're following him and he's guiding you continually. Let me encourage you to get still with God. Be still and find God's will and trust the Lord and lean on him and not your own understanding and pray and talk to him and let him direct your path. My biggest concern about the election, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, my biggest concern about this week's election was that the right guy would win and everybody would get lethargic. That was my biggest concern. The right guy would win, everybody would do a dance, and then we'd just go be ourselves. I'm not saying I want the wrong guy to win, but I'll tell you what, I want us to understand that we need to be more close to the Lord. And we need to learn how to get satisfied when there's a drought and how to be well-watered like a garden that's well-watered, like a spring of water whose waters fail not, just an internal spring. And it says here in verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Your children will even be builders and revivers. And you'll see revival. They that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Kevin and I were standing on the sidewalk at the school, and an older Christian lady walked by, and she said, you know, I hear lots of good comments about what you guys do. She said, you probably don't ever hear them, but I hear them. And she said, I remember years ago, that's how it was when my husband and I were working with teens. We never heard from them. But 40 years later, they called and said, you really impacted my life. You know, when you serve the Lord, it doesn't necessarily come out right away, but they that be of you end up building the old waste places. They that be of you build the old waste places, and you find out that you really did make a difference, but you didn't know it for decades. And maybe you're looking over heaven's balcony and you find out you made a difference. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. You had a part in laying foundation for generations to come. That's the kind of fasting results he wants. He doesn't want results where, yeah, I fasted. No, the result should be you don't have to tell anybody you fasted. It's just obvious that there's results there. You know, the praying in the closet should be obvious because of what's happening. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, a restorer of the old paths to dwell in. Maybe some broken connections and broken bridges are restored and repair of the breach. And then it goes back to this pleasure thing in verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Unfortunately, of course, Sabbath back then was usually the end of the week, and our first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is very similar to the Sabbath, and the idea that it's the Lord's Day. But typically on the Lord's Day, we squeeze in the Lord's time, and then we got our other stuff going on. He said, don't try to do your pleasure on my holy day. Honor me, not your own ways and your own pleasure, speaking your own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Somebody pointed this out. I think it's kind of interesting. They counted from verse 6 and verse 7, they counted about six different things that God said he would expect. But then from verse 8 all the way to verse 12, they counted 12 different things that God said he would do. In other words, here's what I would like to see you do, six things. And here's what you'll get, 12 things, double. There's at least double the blessings at the end of the chapter than there is the expectations towards the middle of the chapter. And so then we realize that we can claim the victory. There's no habit of sin, no besetting sin, no burden, no problem, no weight of sin, as it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, that is too much for the Lord. And we need to learn to fast and pray. And I hope that your biggest fast and pray moment is not because of an election. I hope it's something even bigger than that. There's bigger than that things out there. I mean, your family and your children and their future and decisions, and boy, there's big stuff out there to be praying for and thinking about and fasting. And then we can claim the victory when we serve God and do it right. And we can learn how to fast and pray in secret and not just fake it. Jesus mentioned long prayers. I don't know how long he meant. But last week, Sunday morning at 9:10, some of us met together for prayer. And there was a guy in the room, and he pulled Sam aside and he said, "Hey, I'd like you to explain to me, how do you pray?" And Sam said, "Well, we just talk to God." He said, "Well," he said, I do that. I do that all the time. But in a room with other guys, how do you do that?" And I don't know what all Sam said because I didn't hear the whole conversation, but the answer is same thing. You just talk to God. You know? I love listening to others talk to God. I'll be honest with you. I don't like listening to other people pray to me. Do you know what I mean by that? I don't want to listen to someone pray a prayer for my benefit. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of public prayer is, isn't it? But what we want is to just, what God wants is for us to just be completely humble. And that pointing the finger it was talking about, that Pharisee, "God, I thank you, I'm not like this publican." Remember that story? Probably was pointing that finger when he said it. What I love about God is that he does not judge the way we do. He does not look on the outward appearance only. He looks on the heart. He knows the whole story, the whole background. He knows whether or not they should be better than they are or they're doing their very best right now. And you and I can't see all that. But God knows. And so number one, we need to just be right with God. And I think that requires us a time of fasting. So someone was asking me last week, I think it was. And I tried to explain, I really think the part of the reason for fasting is, if you're like me, now, I realize there's some weird people out there, but I'm not one of them. But there are weird people out there that forget to eat. I don't understand you, okay? I don't understand you. You know, I mean, there was a time, I'm starting to mature out of this, but there was a time where I lived to eat, okay? But to forget to eat, that's crazy, you know? Now, I can see where you get so busy you don't have time to eat. But let me tell you something. I didn't forget. There's something down here that's reminding me, okay? And I think that's why fasting is kind of a thing, because whenever I'm fasting, I got something going, rawr, 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 and every time it goes, rawr, rawr, oh yeah, I know why it's roaring, because I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be focused on somebody else. And so that rawr, rawr in my stomach, and that whale call, or whatever it's doing, is a reminder of what my point is. And then whatever other pleasure or thing that I might have done, it's for the Lord. And it's time to stop and pray. And we all right now have something in our life that, would you agree, $1 million wouldn't fix it? There's something in our life right now that we have, all of us, and it's different, but all of us have a problem right now, and the only thing that can fix it is God. It's a miracle. It has to be a miracle. And we need to learn how to fast and pray and not try to make it happen or pay for it to happen, but to pray that it'll happen. And that's where I'm at with all this tonight, is I'm saying, and it's not just about an election. Please understand, I'm not talking just because election, although I'm sure that's on somebody's mind, but that's not what I'm just talking about. But there's things that we need, you know. We need, Lord, we need this. I don't know exactly your timing on that, but we need this, and we need this, and I think we need one of these, and I think we need this. And there's things that we need. Be still and know that I am God. Trust him. Fast and pray. Seek his face. Maybe there's a neighbor that needs to get saved. And maybe it's impossible. That's the fasting and praying. Jesus said to his disciples, they said, how come we couldn't cast out? They said, this kind comes forth by prayer and fasting. You can't just go to disciple school and then graduate with a diploma. No, this comes by prayer and fasting. So there's impossible things that require prayer and fasting. And all of us have a need. All of us have something that it's a burden to us. And we'd love for it to get fixed, and it can't get fixed other than God doing it. And so we need to learn to fast and pray. And to self-deny. You know, one of the biggest curses that we can have is have everything going for you. Because it's just real hard to deny then. And you know, there's food in the fridge and there's money in the bank and you're not in need. That song that we sing sometimes, Lord, I need you. When life is calm or when it's a storm, I need you. And to learn to fast and pray, be still and know that I am God. Confess our sins. When you start to mature is when you start realizing how sinful you really are. Someone, a friend of mine from a long time ago, posted something today. It was a Bible verse, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. That first sentence is a big sentence because Uzziah was a really good king. He was a really good king, but he kind of failed at the end. But he was a good king. He was a king for a long time, and he was a good king. In the year that King Uzziah died, which means real bad time, bad year. But in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. That goes together, see? My good friend King died, and God's got me looking at him now. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy. And we need to get back to looking at the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And walk in prayer and fasting. And let God be God. Let God really be the King of our life. And when you get closer to him, you are so unimpressed with anybody else. Let me encourage you tonight. I'm going to be practicing what I preach. And I hope you will too. I hope that you all realize, boy, I have a need, and I think the only one that can fix it is God. I'm not telling you how long to fast. I'm not telling you anything about that. That's between you and God. It could just be a meal. It could be a whole day. It could be a week. I don't know. But you just trust the Lord and let God be leading you. And fast and pray. And be close to God. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for opportunity to pray that we waste. Help us to have quiet time. Help us to have meditation time. Help us to see how much phone time that's really robbing and wasting. Help us to focus on you time, God time. Help us to deny self and self time. And help us to fast and pray. There's young people in here that have moms or dads that need to get saved. Help them to get serious and fast and pray about that. There's someone in here that might need a loved one saved, maybe a child. a spouse or someone that needs to get saved. There's needs we all have. Child that might be going sideways, situation happening, economy, whatever. Help us to take it to you and to get alone with you and be still and know that you're still God. Help us to walk with you. Help us to confess our sin. Help us to constantly confess it and see the need and the areas where you are not impressed, and to be totally humble before you in crucifying the flesh and fasting and praying. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for our blessings tonight. Help us to sleep well, have a good rest of our week, but most importantly, help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.